Today in the Gospel, we hear the story of blind Bartimaeus, a tale we have heard many times throughout our lives. Most of us probably learned this miracle story as children, since it displays Jesus' love for his people and his power as God. But let's look at this story from a slightly different perspective this morning. Bartimaeus' first words in the Gospel are actually the Greek words, eleison me. Now that might sound a little bit familiar to you, as at the beginning of every Mass we pray in the penitential rite, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. Jesus' mere approach has caused the blind man to ask for mercy. At our Lord's beckoning, he then puts forth his petition, which Jesus then grants. Jesus gives Bartimaeus the mercy he seeks, and Bartimaeus is healed. You may have heard that over the next year, we will be celebrating God's mercy in a very special way. Pope Francis announced that there will be an extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy. It'll begin on December the 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and run through the Feast of Christ the King in November of 2016. Now, as wonderful as this announcement has been, I found that there are some Catholics, good and faithful Catholics, who don't really understand mercy that well, are unsure of how it relates to the Christian life and the sacrament of penance, and what it actually means to us. Today's Gospel passage may help clarify a little bit of our teaching and our understanding of God's mercy. First, Jesus comes near Bartimaeus, and simply hearing that he is close moves Bartimaeus to seek help and healing. This is grace. God's grace initially moves Bartimaeus' heart to believe that Jesus can offer healing mercy. Seeing his own helplessness and trusting in Jesus' goodness and compassion, Bartimaeus calls out, "Eleison me," have mercy on me. Bartimaeus knows that Jesus has the ability to bestow mercy, and he recognizes that he is in need of that mercy. And so he does what any needy child does. He asks, "Jesus, Son of David, please show me mercy." Now, he could have been too proud to admit that he was in need and ask Jesus for mercy. Or he could have been too embarrassed when the crowds started to yell at him to hush up. But he knew that this was his chance to ask for Jesus' mercy, and he wasn't about to let the moment pass him by. Bartimaeus took advantage of the opportunity to request mercy from our Lord. And of course, Jesus does respond with goodness and compassion, with mercy. He heals Bartimaeus. He makes him whole. Jesus always responds faithfully to genuine pleas for mercy. Sometimes his answer results in physical healing, such as in the case of Bartimaeus. Always his answer results in spiritual healing, as long as the petitioner truly desires to be reconciled to God. But the mercy granted by Christ is always in response to a request for it. And once Bartimaeus has received his sight, he follows Jesus on the way. The phrase, "the way," was an early Christian expression indicating the faith. Bartimaeus is transformed physically by Jesus' mercy, but he also uses it as a springboard to transform his life to follow Christ. Now, this may shed some light on why some false understandings of mercy just don't work. A common misconception is that mercy is something like clearing away a bar tab, as if God were a kindly benefactor who would walk into some tavern and say, "Barkeep, I'm feeling generous. Wipe away everyone's tab. We'll start fresh. Everyone's sins are forgiven." Some people perceive that because God is generous and merciful, and he showers down his mercy upon his people, that each of us receives it just by being there. We view it as an unmerited gift, which it is, but we also view it as one that happens to us without our participation, which it does not. Instead, mercy is about recognizing our own sinfulness, our failure to live up to the responsibilities of being a member of the body of Christ. We see that once again, we just haven't lived up to our end of the bargain. And so we repent, we convert, we turn back to the Lord. We beg his pardon for failing him. And like Bartimaeus, we beg him for mercy and healing. And this is where we have great confidence in our Lord, because we know that he will respond to us with mercy. He has promised us that he will do so. And especially during this extraordinary Jubilee year, his boundless mercy is just waiting to heal us. But we can't let it stay on the shelf. That mercy is available, but we have to request it, or it will remain unused. In order to request it, we have to sincerely want it and want what it represents. We desire mercy because we love God and we want to strengthen our relationship with him. Imagine an ungrateful child who returns home on Christmas to collect his presents from his parents, but then doesn't visit them or speak to them throughout the rest of the year. Well, expecting God's mercy, but not turning back to him, not trying to repair that relationship that we have, that's kind of the same thing. I think that maybe this is something that a lot of people lose sight of in some of the debates that we've been hearing about whether people who live outside of the church's teachings should be able to receive Holy Communion or serve as ministers at the altar. Yes, God has enough mercy. He is merciful enough to forgive every sin of every sinner in the world. But unless each sinner renounces his sin and humbly approaches the heavenly throne begging for mercy, he will not receive mercy. He cannot receive mercy. The Lord will not spurn a humble and contrite heart, but the proud heart spurns the Lord. A person's relationship with God cannot be restored as long as he continues in his sin. A gift may be given, but until the recipient chooses to accept it, he doesn't actually get it. Therefore, those who persist in their sin cannot receive mercy until they repent. In announcing the Year of Mercy, Pope Francis has given us several suggestions on how we ourselves can fully participate. One of these suggestions is to do the corporal works of mercy, like feeding the hungry and visiting those in prison, and to do the spiritual works of mercy, like praying for the dead and comforting the afflicted. But there's one spiritual work of mercy that I'd like to suggest we adopt as our theme for the year: admonishing the sinner. Now, by admonishing the sinner, I don't mean that we should all go out and catalog all the faults of our neighbors. But rather, we could go out and share the meaning of this special year with our family and friends, acknowledging that we too are sinners in need of God's mercy. We could go out and explain that the church is particularly interested in promoting the mercy offered by Christ this year. And we do this through the sacrament of penance, where in response to the penitent's confession of sins, Jesus floods the soul with his healing, sanctifying grace. Take advantage of the sacrament of confession yourselves often this year, but also bring this teaching on mercy to fallen away Catholics, to those who are confused, or those who are without hope. Explain that Jesus desires, with his entire sacred heart, to pour down his mercy upon us, but that he can only dispense that mercy with our cooperation when we choose him turn to follow him and ask for his forgiveness. May we all be Bartimaeuses, begging the Lord for his mercy so that he will heal us.